House, come to order. We are at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
House Bill 28, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to child protection, shelter care, and initial hearings. This report was passed to the Judiciary Committee, which respectfully reports same back that it be passed. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution number one, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, no, Bechtel. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 60, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlich, Vronish. Excused, Goggles. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 18, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlich, Zwanitzer, Dam. Excused, Davison. Signed, Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 32, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Button, Connolly, Yeagy, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Excused, Davison. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 108, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson. No, Zwanitzer, Dan, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 37, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Button, Connolly, Yeagy, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. No, McKim. Excused, Davison. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to refer House Bill 32, State Archives Appropriation, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, and House Bill 37, State Archives Storage Study. It also has an appropriation to Committee Number 2.
Hearing no objection, House Bills 32 and 37 are re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to move that we resolve ourselves to Committee of the Whole. If you look at the schedule for this afternoon, please move House Bill 18 to the bottom. With that, I move...
Stand by. We're still...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, your special committee appointed to hear the election contest for House District 45 respectfully reports same back to the House as follows. Based upon findings set out in Attachment A, it is the recommendation of the special committee that the election contest for House District 45 be rejected and Matthias Green be determined qualified to serve as representative for House District 45. Ayes, Camel, Yeagy, Croker, Lubnow, Peterson, Stubson. No, Barbudo, Byrd, Illaway. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
We are now at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Sorry about my premature announcement earlier. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Representative Korberg.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 19. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 19, introduced by Judiciary Committee, an act relating to circuit judges, retired circuit court judges. This bill was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary, which respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbuto, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 19 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments.
Chairman Brown, do you want to explain the Standing Committee amendment?
Madam Chairman, I would turn the explanation of both the amendment and the bill over to Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Chairman Brown. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move House Bill 19 to Committee of the Whole and ask favorable consideration. This is a very simple bill. House Bill 19 simply allows any Wyoming retired circuit court judge who's not currently practicing law to be allowed to be called back with their permission and with the consent of the Chief Justice to work on cases. It provides for their compensation, their per diem, and travel allowance. In addition, the amendment simply adds in the words on page 2, line 6, during any period of assignment, just to further, it's just for clarification. And, Madam Chairman, that explains the bill.
Is there any discussion on the Standing Committee amendment? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question, and I, as I read through it, I think I may have this right. Are these judges, they're in retirement status. We're bringing them back on to hear cases. They're getting compensated for it. Are they also getting their retirement compensation, so they're getting both?
Before I allow Representative Brechtel to answer that, I am going to ask if there is any discussion about the Standing Committee amendment. If not, are you ready for the question on the Standing Committee amendment? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 19, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To respond to the question, yes, they would actually continue to receive their retirement in addition to receiving additional salary for the work that they're doing. It was explained to us, however, that this actually is more cost effective than other alternatives. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Botten.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I just have a question. If there's any study indicating how many retired, non-practicing circuit court judges are out there in the state who are even willing to do this sort of work. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Excuse me, Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Three. That was the answer to the question.
Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 19 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 40, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA. This bill was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary, which recommends that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. No, Brechtel, sign representing Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 40 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. For an explanation of the bill and the amendments, I would turn it over to Representative Throne.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, woman. Essentially, I think I'll explain the bill and the Standing Committee amendment together, and then if we could vote on the Standing Committee amendment before we get into questions, if that's acceptable to the chair. This bill is a completion of work that the body began in 2008 when we adopted a statute to provide for exoneration based on DNA evidence. It's a very narrow bill. Very few cases will fall into this category. But essentially, the bill we passed in 2008 allows exoneration based on actual innocence. And the actual innocence is based on DNA testing that might not have been available at the time the person was convicted. So we're talking about a very narrow class of cases. But the work was incomplete because while we provided a process to establish someone's actual innocence, and by actual innocence we don't mean a procedural error, we don't mean a technical error, and we don't even mean reasonable doubt. We mean it could not have been you. It's actual innocence. And I think that's important to understand as you consider this bill. But the piece we left out in 2008 was the compensation piece. So for some folks who've been incarcerated wrongly through no fault of the system and through no fault of any particular individual, they may have been incarcerated for a number of years, and then they get out, and then there they are. And so what this bill does is it provides a process for them to obtain compensation. And again, it's a pretty narrow bill, and it's a pretty modest amount of compensation, $75 a day for every day they were incarcerated, up to $300,000. And I think with that background, I'll just quickly walk through the bill. And the Standing Committee amendment. If you look, I've already explained the actual innocence, but if you look at page 2, line 19, we've actually strengthened this by adding while actually. So you have to have been incarcerated. That's just a clarification. Subsection C, the Department of Administration and Information, A&I, will administer the funds. In Wyoming, that was just the most logical place to put this. And then subsection D describes the process for applying. Someone only has 2 years to do this. We had some discussion in the committee as to whether that was too short a period of time, but it's similar to the Governmental Claims Act. And also, if folks, when they get out, we want them to do this right away so they have some funding to get their lives going. Going back to the amendment, this is just to clean up some of the language regarding the annuity. We do provide that the compensation would be given to someone in the form of an annuity if it's larger than $30,000, for the simple reason that, again, for someone who's been incarcerated for a very long period of time, they most likely haven't developed money management skills, and the annuity is actually to even out the income for them. Moving on to page 4, again explaining the standing committee amendment. This is just to strengthen the provisions in the event that the estate applies for the money. And then page 4, line 18, again on the standing standing committee amendment. This portion is just a cleanup language on that. And I think I'll stop here and request that we vote on the standing committee amendment or take questions on the standing committee amendment.
Is there any discussion on the standing committee amendment? Seeing none, question having been called, all those in favor, Representative Patton has a question on the standing committee amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On the presentation of this, on the amendment on page 4, line 9, there was considerable discussion about the estate being a legitimate estate that has some dependency on the payments that the prisoner, after getting out, was entitled to, and tried to be written in a fashion that it wouldn't be something that would be spurious, that somebody would say, oh, wow, there's $100,000 that we could claim a relationship to when there wasn't any actual dependency. So I'm in hopes that the language as she's putting it in now, or the committee is putting in, clarifies that and makes sure that that was the intent of the interim committee. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Madam Minority Whip.
I would just call for the question if there's no further discussion.
Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Hearing none, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill Number 40, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 40 has been adopted, and we're now back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill? Madam Minority Whip?
Madam Chair, I would just like to again emphasize that this bill is to deal with a very specific and most likely small class of cases, and I would refer the body to the fiscal note, which doesn't provide a specific fiscal amount, but points out that there have not been very many cases like this nationally, and also that in Wyoming we would expect very few cases. And one point that got lost in the discussion of the Standing Committee Amendment is that by accepting this compensation, folks would waive their right to any claim they might have against any involved governmental entity. So, again, it's a bill to rectify a wrong, to provide compensation, and to allow people to begin getting on with their lives.
Is there any other discussion? Representative Patton.
Just to help out on and for the amended bill, the one thing that during the discussion and debate on this, in which there was considerable, came out the writing and the draft that you have before you provides for a quote-unquote an annuity that should not be interpreted as being necessarily an annuity written by an insurance company, but rather as the discussions when it's written in a fashion in which the annuity could actually be with the state treasurer, so that the amount would just be withdrawn as it took place, as opposed to taking a given amount of dollars and putting it in and into a commercial or an insurance company annuity, it would be considerably less expensive, and we are talking about a very narrow potential audience. So we're not talking about just hauling off with $300,000 and buying a quote-unquote annuity with some insurance company, but rather the annuitizing of it would be available not to exceed that figure. So with that, again, on and for voting for the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question, because I don't think I follow this. We say a guy or a gal had $300,000 that was due them at $75 a day, so they were put away for a long time. And then if I understand it right, and I read it for the first time just a moment ago, they could get $30,000 a year, sort of a stipend, so that they could manage their money because they hadn't been doing it for years. That all makes sense. What happens if that person gets the first payment and then is gone? What happens with that annuity? Where does it go, and has that been addressed?
Madam Minority Whip.
Madam Chair, that is not an issue we discussed, but I assume it could fall into the unclaimed property category if we if the person just goes away and doesn't want their money. And I don't see any of my cohorts or former cohorts on the committee jumping up to answer this question. We will try and get some information to answer that question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. Make sure nobody else is. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 40 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill 40 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28.
Madam Chairwoman.
Excuse me. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on the order of business this afternoon. There's been some people who weren't aware of the order, and I just want to make sure that it's clear. For the rest of the afternoon, it will be House Bill 28, House Bill 60, House Joint Resolution Number 1. I'll move to rise and report if we get that far. Otherwise, we will stop at 3:30, and then I'll announce a general file for Monday after that, depending on how we do today.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 28, introduced by the Judiciary, and Act relating to child protection, shelter care, and initial hearings. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which respectfully reported back that for it to pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, representing Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 28 do pass, and turn the explanation over to the representative from District 8.
Representative Nicholas.
Please, Madam Chairman. This bill is part of the Child Protection Act, Article 4. It's a fairly simple bill. The purpose of it is to improve the relationship between the court and the county and the parents when a child is taken out of the home. And the mechanism by which it's doing that is that, as currently written under the shelter care hearing has to happen within 48 hours. What this bill does, and as currently written, when you have the shelter care hearing, the court is supposed to take a plea from the parents of guilty or not guilty, or take a statement from them as to the underlying grounds of the reason that the child was taken from the home. It's been recommended by various parties through the Judiciary Committee, Interim Committee, and our judicial branch that it would be a greater benefit to the family particularly the parents, if they don't have to give a plea within that 48-hour threshold, and that they can have the shelter care hearing to determine what the best interest of the child is prior to addressing the concerns of the parent immediately out of the gate. And the purpose of that is take away the adversarialness of that at the 48-hour period. And the purpose is also then to enhance the rights, if you will, of the parents so that they can further understand it, make sure they have an attorney to represent them, and take care of the interests of the child in that first 48 hours. So if you walk through the bill, essentially what it does is it takes out the obligation of the court to request a guilty plea or, if you will, a confession of how the parents are handling the child situation and just determine within that first 48 hours what's in the best interest of the child. And if there's any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer them. But in a nutshell, we're trying to take care of the child but not force a parent to commit immediately without having proper representation and knowing what they're doing. Lots of people get into that situation and they're afraid. They'll do anything that the court will ask them to or a prosecutor will suggest to them without knowing the ramifications of their conduct. And so this just gives added time to take care of the parent's interests but make sure that the child is in the proper placement in the first 48 hours after it's been removed from the home. If there are any questions, I would move that I do pass on House Bill 28.
Thank you, Representative Nicholas. Chairman Brown's the motion's already on the floor, but thank you again. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Just a question for the good representative from House District 8. I guess in the explanation of this bill, it was explained that we're just trying to take away the adversarial nature of when a court might ask parents to admit or deny the allegations. But I guess it's been my own experience and looking at the statute as well that they are advised of their right to counsel at that time and also basically that they don't have to enter an admission or a denial. And a lot of times what the district court judge would do is say, would you like to have an attorney? And he appoints one. If they ask for an attorney, they're not called at that point to enter an admission or a denial. If anything, the district court judge would enter a denial for them at that point. And so I'm not really sure if we're fixing something that's wrong or we're just fixing something that makes people maybe feel better. I guess I didn't really understand that.
Representative Nicholas.
Madam Chair, we discussed that, Mr. Speaker, during the review process. Every county kind of does things differently, and I've done a few of these, but it's been 15 years since I've done them. The problem is that parents tend to, when they get confronted and be put in that situation, it's kind of hard to shut them up sometimes, and they'll do anything to get their kids back. And before they even have an opportunity to understand what those rights are, they'll just be, you know, bend over backwards and do what they can to get their child back, number one. Number two, and there are lots of situations where it's not the district court, it's a commissioner doing these hearings. We were told that, for example, in Natrona County, that they have the hearings within 24 hours, and they always have an attorney present during those initial shelter care hearings. But in other counties, that simply isn't the case. They don't have the time or the resources. A lot of times, for example, the underlying criminal documents or juvenile documents haven't even been completely drafted because they've just only taken the child. And so there's just lots of different instances. And I would suggest to you the reason we're doing this primarily is because at the recommendation of the judicial branch and various court judges have said this would be a better idea and a better way to handle it. So I realize that it's kind of like when you get pulled over by a police officer. He says, can I search the car? Well, most people say, well, yeah, go ahead, because you don't know what else to say. You can't say no. And it's the same situation here. So it's taking away that competitor, adversarial to kind of a contrary relationship where the first thing the judge says is you have the right to attorney, you have the right to admit or deny. Now, do you admit or do you deny? And when someone is first time ever in a courtroom and they're slammed with that in front of them, They're immediately on the back heels. They're worried about it, and they don't know what to do. And so there are just lots of situations where it would work better if you didn't have to take that plea at that time. But every county is different. This is just addressing those situations where that situation needs to be addressed. I'm sure.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question for the good representative from House District 8. The section beginning at the bottom of page 5, 14.3.422, and then going on to the top of page 6, it appears from that language that a court is now going to be obligated twice to advise the parents of their right to be represented by counsel at every stage of the proceedings. And I'm wondering if that was the intent of the committee or if an amendment would be appropriate to say it's at the first appearance before court that they get that advisement and not that they have to be advised a couple times.
Representative Nicholas.
Madam Chair, I don't know that we discussed that issue. It would be my preference that your advisor, your right to attorney, at a shelter care hearing and at the initial appearing if you don't have one. But we would certainly review the language and consider it.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one other observation as well. If this is the direction we're going to go, I think you also have to remember that a lot of times, number one, this will take away the court's ability to proceed directly to a disposition in the case or to receive the evidence. If you look at subsection C under 14.3.409, it says that if the allegations are admitted, the court shall also make the appropriate adjudication, may proceed immediately to a disposition. And it goes on to say, later on here, that they could proceed on with the case. And I guess I'm for the bill at this point, but what's happening here also, just as likely as not, is you have a situation where if you could proceed to disposition that day, the child could be placed back in the home under some type of stipulation with Department of Family Services. If the parent wants to admit, if it's a clear-cut case, in some cases you would actually be delaying the child's return to the home. So I would just ask the body, as this goes forward, to consider this piece of legislation carefully.
Representative Nicholas.
Madam Speaker, in many situations, the child goes home after the initial hearing that takes place, and that won't change because of this bill. But I think all of the points that brought out by Mr. Speaker are correct and will duly noted on second reading. And that's an issue that we've discussed since this has been referred back to for this proceeding. So thank you for your comments.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To address the Speaker's concerns, it was our intent that if you so chose, you could do the initial hearing at the same time as the shelter care and do a full disposition at that time. If you don't believe it does that, we can certainly fix that on second reading. It was always my understanding that it did that. Because, in particularly Natrona County, they have the resources. They actually do it all at one time. So when you bring the kid in for the shelter care hearing, you do the shelter care hearing and the initial all at the same time and potentially just move to full adjudication at that time. Other communities just can't keep up with that. They don't have those type of resources. So this was an opportunity, and actually this primarily came out of Sheridan County. This was an opportunity to allow the courts to decide that in some communities you could do the shelter care first, deal with the kid, get the kid to where he needs to be, then have the initial hearing within a day or two probably, and at that initial hearing start the process. But we made sure, and it's there on page 3, line 21, we made sure to leave in that if the court so chose that you could do the initial and the shelter care at the same time for those counties that have the resources to do it. That at least was the intent. I can see what the speaker's saying is that potentially we need to put some of that language back in that you see on page 3 that allows for a full adjudication. Because in some situations, you do have the predispositional report and the MDTs already met before the hearing has ever occurred, where parents have come to DFS and said, I need assistance. And so you're sort of setting up the system for them. And maybe that does need to be put back in that language. But I think that's something we can fix on second reading.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 28 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 28 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 60, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation of oil and gas field services. This bill was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Simlek, Vranish, excused, Goggles. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 60 do pass. And with that, I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from District 55 in the big city of Riverton, Wyoming.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is one of those bills where all the parties were in agreement that came to the table. The taxing authority and the taxpayer were on the same page on this one. And all we're doing here is going into the statutes and fixing pretty much the way the industry has operated the last 25 years. And the Department of Revenue has asked for this to be codified, so it's clearly the right thing to do for these people doing these services in the oil and gas field. What it pertains to, and one of the problem areas was all the coal bed methane wells being drilled, literally tens of thousands of them, and some sort of withholding sales tax or even bonding for the sales tax. And as many of you are familiar possibly with the coal bed methane, those wells are literally drilled in days instead of sometimes months for conventional oil and gas. So this was getting to be a problematic area in the Department of Revenue and with the taxpayers that were paying this. Also, on page 2 of the bill, on lines 14 through 16, it basically says the provisions of those statutes don't apply to this subparagraph, and that applies to subcontractors that come on out to the property. So with that, I'd stand for any questions. If there's no questions, I would call for the question.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 60 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill 60 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution number 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 1, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to eliminate restrictions on the authority of district court commissioners. This bill was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, No, Brechtel, signed Representative Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 1 do pass. I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments And I would turn the explanation of the resolution and the amendment over to the representative from District 24.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask that I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 1 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments.
Please proceed, Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This House Joint Resolution came to the Judiciary Committee on a recommendation from, at the time, Chief Justice Voight, and now has the support of Chief Justice Kite. Basically, Madam Chair, this bill would be an amendment to the Constitution. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Madam Chair. This would be an amendment to the Wyoming Constitution that would basically delete the language that would allow for a county commissioner or a court commissioner have authority to preside in the place of a district judge when the district judge is in the county. And a little bit of background, Madam Chair, when a district court judge under the current constitutional construction is in the county, if procedures come up such as shelter care hearings or Title 25 proceedings, which have very strict timelines, including 48 hours or 72 hours, with the district court's dockets being, as they are, very busy, court commissioners are often asked to hold these hearings for the district court. It has been the practice in the past few years that the district courts have been assigning these assignments to commissioners while still in the county. This House Joint Resolution, Madam Chair, would eliminate that language, which would allow district court judges to assign these cases to commissioners while they're still in the jurisdiction, which is a practice that has been occurring. In relation to the amendment, the specific language of the amendment relates to the language that would be placed on a general election ballot. Madam Chair, the committee felt that a shorter, more concise language regarding the amendment would be appropriate. I'd take any questions.
Is there any discussion on the Standing Committee amendment? Mr. Majority Floor Leader? That's no. Are you ready for the question on the Standing Committee amendment? Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question for the good representative from House District 24. What protection do the citizens of Wyoming have that the district court judges will do their jobs and not allocate all of the work out to court commissioners in the district who are unelected and only responsive to the district court judge?
Thank you, Mr. Leader.
Excuse me, Representative Crone, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Leader, for the question. In a meeting with the court, or actually, Mr. Leader, we believe that the court, through its process of following the dockets of the individual district courts and the budgets associated with those dockets, could potentially monitor for that abuse. But probably more importantly, Mr. Leader, we could adopt specific statutory language that would limit the usage of court commissioners. There is existing language now, and if we felt like expansion of court commissioner power was being abused, we certainly could tighten that up through statute.
Is there any other discussion on the resolution? Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good representative from Park County. There's some of us in this body that take constitutional amendments very seriously. And we only ought to put those things on that affect a lot of people and have long-term consequences. In your mind, is this one of those kinds of issues to take to the full public and with all of the ramifications of changing our Constitution for this item?
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to answer my friend from Casper's question, I do believe so. The evidence suggests that these commissioners are being used in most of the judicial districts across the state. They're being used for these purposes already. This is in many ways clarifying and cleaning up that procedure, and I believe that it does have wide effect across the state, and it would be, I believe it's an appropriate use of a constitutional amendment.
Madam Minority Whip.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to add an important but more general point, we heard from the Supreme Court in the opening, and for several years now, as the Speaker Pro Tem mentioned, we've been working on making our court process more efficient, more effective, and also allowing our district court judges to focus on more complex matters, and I think this is part of that larger piece.
Is there any other discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution Number 1 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Joint Resolution Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
Excuse me, you have heard the report, or you have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
Representative Korberg, are you waiting? Oh, is he going? The reading clerk, please read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 19, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 40, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 28, recommended do pass. House Bill 60, recommended do pass. Excuse me. House Joint Resolution Number 1, amended, recommended, do pass. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock, room H18, to consider the following bills. House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. House Bill 110, Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability.
Chairman Illaway.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, will finally meet on Monday, January 17th at noon recess in room H18. We're going to discuss House Bill 2, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset, House Bill 4, Department of Insurance Background Checks, House Bill 9, Department of Insurance Licensure Revisions, if time permits, and then if time permits further, House Bill 10, Insurance Fraud Prevention.
Chairman Corbett.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet Tuesday, January 18th, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H10, to hear bills, House Bill 22, phased-in fuel tax increase, and House Bill 33, exceeding speed limit while passing.
Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Monday, January 17th, upon adjournment in room 302 for consideration of House Bill 74, the validity of marriage.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Monday on the 17th at 8 o'clock to discuss House Bill 31, Paramutual Regulation, House Bill 76, Game and Fish Turkey Pioneer Licenses, and House Bill 100, Game and Fish Land Acquisition. Thank you.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Monday at 8 o'clock a.m. in room H8 to consider the following bills. House Bill 21, Battery Against a Family Member. House Bill 24, Voting Rights. House Bill 29, DUI, Elimination of Right to Refuse Test. And House Bill 30, Execution of Judgment Liens.
Chairman Childers.
The best for the last. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Monday, January the 17th, 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. House Bill 44, Annuity Premium Tax Repeal, House Bill 45, Agricultural Property Taxation, and House Joint Resolution 2, Resolution for the U.S. Constitution Requiring a Balanced Budget.
Chairman Harvey, the last of the report.
And the best. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet Monday upon adjournment in room H17, where we will hear House Bill 50, Health Insurance Exchanges, and House Bill 73, Dental Services Freedom Bill.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to the body from the great city across the mountain, home of the Cowboys and Cowgirls, our newly elected mayor, Scott Molnar, and our city manager, Janine Jordan. Welcome.
Representative Barbudo.
Mr. Speaker, the minority party will hold a caucus meeting upon adjournment in the minority floor leader's office.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General file for Monday will be House Bill 18, House Bill 108, and such other bills that will be reported out of committee. Monday business will consist of the typical things. After second reading, we will do or hear the election contest on the floor. And Mr. Speaker,
I move that the House adjourn until Monday, January 17th, 2011, at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. And those opposed, no. Wow. You want to stay here all weekend. The motion has been adopted. The House will be stand adjourned until January 17th, 2011 at 10 a.m.